Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Opening Commodity Market Report. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that the annual rate of inflation across the world's largest economies fell for the second straight month in September. The annual rate of inflation in its 34 developed country members fell to 1.5% from 1.7% in August, while the wider group of 20 largest economies slipped to 2.9% from 3.0%. The annual rate of inflation fell in Europe and the U.S., although it picked up in Japan. The rate of prices increases also fell in large developing economies, including Brazil, Indonesia, Russia, and South Africa. The CFTC yesterday voted to propose a revised version of position limits for large traders of oil, gold, and sugar a year after a federal court tossed out an earlier set of rules. The CFTC's revised rule aims to cap the size of trading positions that firms can take in certain commodity contracts. It also extends restrictions to swaps. The new proposal is likely to meet opposition from the financial services industry. The European Union's Executive Commission is backing plans to cultivate a genetically modified maize despite the objections of environmental groups, which considers it dangerous. Today's approval now sends the plans to approve maize 1507 to the EU's 28 member nations for consideration and could lead to a decision on the issue as soon as next month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,625. It's up 74 points. The NASDAQ, 3387, up 7.5. And the S&P 500, 1764, up 7.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's storm system in the Midwest will likely be shifting into the eastern portions of the region as we go through the day today. This will be primarily areas east of the Mississippi River and including a large part of the U.S. Delta as well. The precipitation overnight last night was most significant across areas from Nebraska, southern South Dakota, and Kansas, across over to Wisconsin and parts of Michigan and Illinois. Rain totals were often in the quarter to three-quarter inch range, although we did see some totals that got upwards to an inch and a quarter in the area from Nebraska into southwestern Minnesota. Just to the northwest of this was a band of snow. In fact, it was rather significant snow in an area coming out of southeastern South Dakota into west central and some southwestern portions of Minnesota. 4 to 10 inches of snow fell across some of this region, and it was a very narrow band, but it was impressive where it did occur. The temperatures yesterday afternoon across a fair amount of the Midwest was still warm in the east, but cool in the west. The majority of the afternoon temperatures running in the 30s and 40s across the northwesternmost parts of the region, and it looks like the areas off to the southeast were a bit warmer, reaching upwards into the range of some 50 and 60 degree readings. So we will expect to see the temperatures trend cooler over the next 24 hours, with the eastern portions of the Midwest likely to experience temperatures that will come down into the 40s and 50s after being in the 60s here in the last couple of days. But that is to be expected. 40 and 50 degree highs are normal for this time of the year. The cool weather will likely conserve our moisture that we're getting out there right now and that which has fallen in the past, and it could set the stage for further delays in field work until we can manage to get the ground to firm up in a better manner. Now, the biggest change in the forecast today across the Midwest is a less significant storm system for next week. In fact, one of the model runs we look at regularly took away all of the precipitation for next week, and I think that may be the right solution. there's going to be a cold surface high pressure center that will settle into the Midwest late in this weekend and more likely next week. And that should clear out the majority of the Midwest and drop those temperatures down to actually a little bit colder than usual range for a few days. That the cold, dry air should likely leave us without an opportunity for significant precipitation during the middle to latter part of next week, unlike previous days this week in the forecast. Now, that cold air will likely abate from the region as we move on into the second weekend of the two-week outlook, and that raises the potential for overrunning warm, moist air into the cold air mass, the perfect scenario for making it rain again. So watch closely for the period from the 15th through the 18th for a larger storm system to begin impacting a part of the Midwest, and could also have influence on parts of the Delta as well as the U.S. Great Plains. The temperature bias will, though, definitely be trending cooler for the near-term part of the forecast, but we'll expect to see the temperatures rebound again as we move forward into that next storm system. So the latter part of next week will probably turn just a bit warmer. Outside of the states, just a quick comment, it still looks stormy in Argentina for the next couple of days. In the south, a cool front will work its way from south to north, and by the time we get into late this weekend, we'll likely see an upper-level low-pressure system come along that will enhance rainfall, making very heavy rainfall Saturday and Sunday across central and northern parts of the country. So Argentina is going to be faced with some continuous issues with limited field work until we get into next week when it looks like it'll be drier. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 7.22 down a quarter. March 7.25 and a quarter down a half. Soft December, 6.57 up one. March, 6.67 and three quarters up a half. December corn, 4.25 and three quarters up three quarters. July, 4.51 up three quarters. November soybeans, 12.67 and a half up eight and a quarter. January, 12.58 up seven and three quarters. July, at 12.29 and three quarters is up five and a quarter. November soybean, make that December soybean meal. 395.50 up to 70. December soybean oil, 41.35, now 36 up 21. December live cattle, 131.97 and a half, down 7 and a half. November feeders are 165 up 22 and a half. And December lean hogs are 87.55 and they are down 70. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Yeah, the rain has fallen.
Yes, it has. Kind of gave us a little bit of a bump up last night. Harvest is slowing down. Guys are getting a little bit of a break and trying to get things caught up in the shed. So here we are. And our takeaway now is that harvest, is 2 points above average posted Monday afternoon. The finish of this harvest is probably going to be slow and kind of drawn out.
Could take about a month, couldn't it?
It very well could, and plus we got a little Thanksgiving break in there, too.
So Friday, we get something we haven't seen in 2 months, a set of numbers from USDA crop production. We also hear from the World Board and get WASDE numbers. My reaction to this initially is that at least we'll all be fighting about the same set of numbers.
Most assuredly. I mean, this crop has basically been growing through the course of the fall. We need to see what the USDA's takeaway is on that, as well as we need to see the injection of the harvested acres issue, some resolution that needs to be found there. And then we've seen a fantastic export lineup. As soon as corn became available from the U.S., we had basically China step up, unknown destinations show up, Japan, Mexico. The demand has perked up. So all these numbers are basically going to be tabulated, and then all of us get to start with the USDA's assumptions starting Friday at noon.
And what is the number that I have a yellow highlighter here? I'm going to hand it to you.
Sure.
What is the number you're going to highlight first on the WASDE report?
I think it's going to be the U.S. production figure. I think we need to know what that is so that we know really what can trickle down to the bottom line. And then I'd like to see what the world wheat number is, because I think realistically that's usually the leading indicator for the coarse grains in the grain markets. I want to see that. And for some of the old heads out there, if you've looked at your oats lately, they've been a pretty buoyant market. Granted, they've probably got some specific fundamentals as far as non-deliverable stocks available to the Chicago Board of Trade, but that price historically has been a pretty good indicator of even what wheat's going to do.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's go ahead and get the current trade in the marketplace. Hard red December wheat is 7.22 1/4. It's unchanged. The March is 7.25 3/4, and it's unchanged. The soft December wheat is 6.55 1/2. It's up a half. March is 6.67 1/4. It's unchanged. December corn is 4.25 1/4, up a quarter. July is 4.50 1/2. It's up a quarter. November soybeans are 12.67, up 7 3/4. January is 12.58 1/4. It's up 8. July soybeans are 12.30, up 5 1/2. December soybean meal is 395.60, up 2.80. December soybean oil, 41.36, up 21. December live cattle, 131.90, down 15. November feeders, 164.92 1/2, up 15. And December lean hogs, 87.52 1/2, down 72 1/2. If you want our report of Friday's crop production and WASDE numbers, go to our website, willag.org, and subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. You can do it in the right navigation window. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.